Hello, and a very warm welcome to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM. My name is Mike Fletcher.
And I'm Paul Cook. And together we'll be diving into the world of events professionals and interviewing key figures to unearth new thinking, new ideas, and up-to-date advice for industry newcomers.
New in Events is for everyone working in the meetings, incentive, conference, and event sectors. You may have recently got a job in this industry and you're looking to learn from more experienced players, or you may be a seasoned pro looking for new solutions, new ways of working, and inspiration for how your events can evolve for the future.
Whichever part of the events industry you work in, and no matter how long you've been one of us, you've come to the right place.
New episodes of Season 1 will be available throughout the first half of 2024, so don't forget to follow and subscribe on whichever channel you download your podcast from.
Or you can follow us and IBTM Events on social media, and we'll let you know every time a new episode is published.
So, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to episode 4, and today we have three very insightful guests for you, all with their very different take on the attendee experience. So Mike, who are our guests today?
Hi Paul, thanks very much. Yes, as Paul said, we've got three fantastic interviews for you today. We've got James Rees, Executive Director of Excel London, who we interviewed in the podcast booth, IBTM World in Barcelona last year. We also have a fascinating chat with ICE Strategic Director, Anita Howard. Now, ICE is the in-house corporate event planners association. But first, we're going to start on the show floor in Barcelona with Dr. Lee Parry. Now, he's a lecturer at Cardiff University and a researcher at the European Cancer Stem Cell Research Institute. And you may well ask, why have we got a scientist on our podcast? Well, he was in Barcelona at IBTM World on behalf of Meet in Wales. He's one of their ambassadors, and he was keen to talk to us about the cultural benefits of conferences, especially on things like scientific discoveries. So let's hear what he's got to say.
It's something I was happy to do when Meet in Wales approached me to be one of their Meet in Wales ambassadors, really, is to try and develop and bring these large conferences to Wales. Obviously, I attend scientific conferences. I'm a life scientist, and I'm more than happy to get these wheels turning again since COVID. I particularly miss the conference scene. Doing them online has got its benefits. You can attend more, but you certainly don't get the benefits that I remember, and the connections and the networking that we used to be happen spontaneously around talks and lectures and social events during the conferences. So happy to help Meet in Wales with this.
Oh, brilliant. And I think you're right, you don't get that same serendipity online that you do in person.
No, you absolutely don't. You don't get that. I think the conferences, they give you time so you can turn up and get away from your day job, and you get to listen to what goes on. You get to learn. You get to catch up with people who are not talking, who you may have known in the past. You get to meet new people through them. And you discuss the things. You have the classic Friday afternoon conversations about, what if we did this? And could we do that? And wouldn't that be cool? Those things happen all the time at conferences. You're sitting around. I've had some of my best ideas, just not through any sort of manufactured relationship or talk, just sitting there.
Now, I was going to ask you about that because I understand there's a little backstory to some of the work that you're now progressing at came purely out of meeting someone at an event.
Yeah, no, there was a conference I attended quite a few years ago now, to be honest. This is back in the days when I was more into the looking for new targets for cancer drugs. It's quite difficult, that, as it turns out. But I've sort of moved now into more into the cancer prevention and early detection space. And part of that came about as a result of a conference I attended. So I was at this conference and there was the last day. And it was the morning after the conference dinner. So I was in the usual state you're in the morning after the conference social event. And it was a session on cancer immunology. Don't worry, I won't go too heavily into immunology, which at the time was certainly not something I was particularly knowledgeable about or interested in. But you turn up with these things because you learn something every time you go to one of these meetings. And at the time, I was working on this project, looking at the potential target for cancer therapy. And I obviously read around my subject, and I knew that one aspect of it was something to do with cancer immunology. And during that talk, one of the speakers said one thing, which made me think, I really should look at that a bit closer when I go home, because that could potentially explain some of the problems I'm facing at the moment and trying to explain it. And sure enough, went home, did some reading, thought, I'm onto something here. And then a couple of years later, that turned into a publication and helped me on the path to where I am today.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. And I think there's probably quite a lot of that that goes on, and we just don't realise that when you are in these kind of conference exhibition.
Yeah, it's hard to measure that sort of impact. Nobody documents that. They're all anecdotal conversations you have with somebody you bumped into.
Yeah, I think the power of in-person events is one that will never go away, because we like to do this. We like to talk. We like to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
So.
No, we do. It just comes back to that time and space to listen to people, just to have dedicated space in your day. Because I don't know if it's true for everybody, but when you sign up to online conferences, you're sitting in your office, you get distracted, the door gets knocked. You can ask a question at the end, that's always available, but you don't have a conversation with people at the end. It's a very sterile way of interacting with people. So yeah, no, to get conferences up and running again is a major part of science. I mean, science is all about collaboration and communication. I'm a life scientist, but I use microscopes and machines in the laboratory, but they weren't built by life scientists, they were built by engineers and physicists. So you have to work with everybody, and they come together at conferences like that.
Yeah, no, brilliant. So you've been here at IBTM for a couple of days. What are your impressions? I know this isn't your normal field as such, but...
My first impression is it's very different to a scientific conference. It's far more shinier and far more audio-visually pleasing than a scientific conference. So it's interesting to see the way it works. I mean, talking to my colleagues and meeting Wales about all these hosted buyers presentations and how all these meetings are happening, that's just something I never really considered. But you can see how it works in this environment, how it's these manufactured interactions where people can interact and learn about places. I'm looking at the floor here, looking at some of the major countries of the world, and thinking they probably don't have to advertise as much. But I see what Meeting Wales are doing in promoting our country and what we have, and you think, oh, good on you, this is the way it should be, and get people to understand the benefits of coming to other places in the world to learn. I've visited some extraordinary places in the world for conferences, and it does come down to that. It's got to be an attractive destination for people, because conferences, which are, there's always regular conferences in regular places, but I remember attending a conference in Broome in Australia. This was pre-COVID. Now, Broome in Australia is a long way away for just about everybody on the planet, even most of the Australians, it's a long way away. And I took at least two or three flights to get there. We all got off the plane and always said, why on earth did they put this conference here? You've only been traveling for days to get here. But it was an extraordinary place, and the isolation and the beauty of it, and it really brought that conference together. It was just a fantastic location. So
yeah,
it's good to see all these countries making this effort to try and get people in.
No, absolutely. And I think IBTM World have always, their spot here in Barcelona is just so nice, especially at this time of year.
Yeah.
Because over in the UK, as you know, it's a little bit
It's very
dismal.
Cold at the moment, yeah.
Precisely. So thank you so much for stopping by this morning and talking to us. I wish you well for the rest of your time here. And thank you, Dr. Lee Parrott.
Thank you very much.
I am the co-founder of ICE, which is a global community for in-house corporate event planners. It's now 10 years old, so we're very, very excited. And it's taking place in the UK, Germany and the US, which is our new launch, which is wonderful. I got into the industry. I actually had a job at Reed Exhibitions at some point. I started off in exhibitions and then left Reed actually to go on to set up my own event management agency, which I did for many years and then sold it. And then basically then set up a technology company called Yaya Online, which is great fun, dealing with technology, which is all about one-to-one partnering. And then basically went on to set up ICE, which we've been doing for 10 years now. And it's a great community of people just sharing the stresses, you know, with the love that we've got off events. It's actually having a community to share it with. It's been such an inspiring time of my career, and just adore this sector. You know, the event sector is the best sector ever to work in.
Oh, I'm sure everybody listening will agree with you on that one. So how did the International ICE community come about? What gave you the spark of the idea to set it up?
So the main thing was when I, many years ago, when I was in exhibitions, I used to work on Confex. I always thought corporates were like godlike creatures and they had the best life in the world and everything else. And it was quite interesting working with a lot of them through, obviously, the event management company, but with the technology company, is some of the troubles that they have been recognised and rewarded internally. And I think this is one of the things that I became very passionate that people should always work in organisations that recognise the great work that they do. And if they don't see that coming from their organisations, that they're recognised by the rest of their industry. And so this is why we set up ICE, is that so that they could go, instead of being recognised by an agency or a supplier, that they were being recognised by their peer group. And this is what's so lovely about ICE. So we set up the ICE Awards. And I've got to say, I hate award ceremonies, but we set it up just purely to get people to really understand it was about recognition for what they do. It obviously grew with, at one point we were at the British Museum. It was the infamous time when there was a train strike, a rail strike, and it was just absolutely hideous thinking no one was going to turn up. And the good event industry made it, walked to the event at the British Museum. And so there, we've now obviously gone from strength to strength to different countries. And the piece of work that we do with C-Vent, you know, with Felicia, is just brilliant because it actually shown real trends of where the industry is going, the corporate event industry is going. And people find it so useful that they actually now present the research to their stakeholders. So their stakeholders internally within these businesses start getting an idea of what the event industry is really about.
Which is really important, isn't it? So this piece of research takes place every year, is it? It's an annual benchmarking survey.
Yeah, so we actually, first of all, when we started it, it came from a conversation where a lot of event teams were being reporting in to procurement instead of to marketing, instead of to, so it was a very disparate group. And gradually, the help we've been given to produce this report has been amazing. But actually seeing that people can go in and show their stakeholders, this is where, or that HR, this is where I should be reporting into, so that there could be quite an understanding of whether it's. So that's where we started. And obviously then we developed into job titles, and we always ask that every year, which is a really interesting one. We then basically looked at salary levels, who they report into, what are their challenges for the next 24 months, so that it actually feeds something back to the agencies and the suppliers to be able to help them through this thing. Because the whole thing about the ICE community is to try and help each other perform brilliant events in a really lovely way that everyone understands each other. The research is so important for the internal teams to actually start seeing where this is for the stakeholders to understand what they do in events, because a lot of people don't understand it. They think you're party organisers, which drives me mad.
Yeah, absolutely. I can empathise with that. It's very much that there is no structured career path through the events industry very often, especially within corporates. And as you say, it really depends on where they sit within the organisation. So let's maybe just pick on a few of those points that the survey brings out. And because we've been talking about it, let's start there. So where do the majority of event teams sit within organisations currently?
I think this is really interesting because we actually, when we started this survey, it was sort of under 50%. And now we've gone from, I think in 2022, from 55 to 72% of people now reporting into the marketing departments, which is such a significant change. And I think part of that change is due to COVID, because during COVID, there was a reassessment of where events sit. And obviously, they are such an important element to anyone's business that there's a real feeling that they have to be part of the whole marketing and sales mix and in a different way compared to where they were a few years ago.
Yeah, that's a real signal, isn't it? That events are very much part of the marketing mix, and the fact that events teams have moved into marketing departments. I guess it's to share marketing technology as well, because during the pandemic with virtual events, marketeers needed the events team on their side and events needed the marketing team to show them how to use the technology.
Yeah. And I think what's really was really interesting for the event market is that, especially internally, it proved how flexible. And I think this is one thing that's really coming out from a lot of things with people we're talking to, is that to be an event planner, you have to be massively adaptable and be able to solve problems. And I think the events teams internally within corporates really did change the needle and perception of what event organisers actually do for their organisation and their flexibility. They didn't just sit there moaning about it. They actually got on and did it, which is just so brilliant for the corporate event planners.
Fantastic. And we touched before on the fact that the report signalled a smorgasbord of job titles, so many job titles within the industry. Can you tell us a little bit about the findings on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was, it's a bit of a hobby horse for me still, but this I think actually demonstrates it even more. It's just the actual job titles. So I think there was something like 130 odd people that answered it, this questionnaire. And out of there was something like 90 odd job titles. I don't know the precise figures, but this was so interesting because I think one of the things it highlights is that everyone gets a new job title when they want to get promoted within the industry because they don't know where they quite fit. But I think the main thing is that it means that there's massive ambiguity on what events teams do. So therefore they can't, unlike marketing managers, you're a marketing exec, marketing manager, director of marketing, et cetera. It seems to be so varied. And I think it negates an awful lot of the stuff that we do as event planners. And I think if I would love to achieve anything for the following year, is to try and we'll never be able to change job titles within corporates because they're set in stone. Like you'll be in a marketing manager, even though you're an event manager. But you will actually be able to demonstrate what your next review is that in my sector, this basically is what is involved in an event manager. This is a senior event manager and this is a head of events so that they get an idea of your job responsibilities. Because when you look at the research that we did, obviously in October, which was released in October, there was a massive thing where people weren't quite understanding what the event teams do. And the roles that people do, they do naturally like content building, but it's not recognised in their job description. So therefore, there's a real mismatch from the job description to the job title. So there's a massive piece of work that I think would be really cool to do on that. And obviously watch this space for what happens next on that.
Ah, so is it true that you guys are setting up a working group to look at this? Does it go all the way to standardisation of job titles?
It's going to be standardization so that it will give a toolbox to the event planner in a corporate to say, this is what my role, my job description should look like. So it's quite interesting for them to be able to about that. So we have got a working group coming together on this. Basically, there's a little tab on our website that actually is called Working Group. So it's shortly been published and anyone can join there if you're an in-house planner.
Okay, so that's the survey covered. What else is ICE been up to? I think you've got a conference and a set of awards and your own podcast now.
Yeah, so we're doing a 5 at 5 thing, which is just a 10-minute podcast every week, which is just interviewing some corporates and basically what they're getting up to, how they got into the industry, what they love about it. And I've got to say, it's been so inspiring. We also have just launched ICE Awards into the US, which is very exciting. Lots of great entries coming in there. And then the best thing, and I was talking to you about this earlier on, Mike, is our ICE Expo, which really isn't an expo, but it's a lab. You know, when you run a conference and you basically have a little pop-up stand for your sponsors and everything else, is to try and get a collaboration of them solving problems together. So I think it'd be very, very exciting to see that. And that's on the 11th of July in London. So hope some of our corporate friends will come.
Oh, fantastic. We'll definitely keep an eye out for that and come and explore what you're doing. When do the awards and conference take place in Germany this year?
Yeah, so we're 4th of July in Germany, in Munich, and then we're 11th of July in London for ICE, who's 10 years old this year. And then we are the 18th of July in New York. And the deadline for any of those eager people wanting to show off their events is the 30th of April. So make sure and get your entries in by then. It's free to enter as well, obviously.
Fantastic. You're going to be busy in July, aren't you?
I know. I'm not going to take any holidays, but the whole of August, I think the whole event team will be off. It's going to be great fun.
Superb.
Yeah, no, it's great fun. Really enjoying it.
Excellent. Well, as I said before, this podcast is very much about newcomers, new people coming into the industry, looking for new ideas, new inspiration, and new ways of working. Do you have any advice for people looking for a career in the events industry? What would you tell newcomers?
Yes, my big thing that I would say is learn about AI. It's the equivalent when I first started, this is years ago, showing my age, but it was the internet. AI is making such a significant change. And within corporates, obviously, they aren't able to use it because they're waiting for their main boards to get the piece correct that they're allowed to use it. But I would definitely look at that. And the big thing about events is the enjoyment of travel, being flexible, and no one day or one event is the same as the next event and the team isn't the same. That flexibility is definitely something that I think you need. Technology, AI, and also flexibility and enjoying people.
So welcome back to the show floor here at IBTM World, and we're back in the podcast booth, and I'm delighted to say that I've got with me James Rees, Executive Director of Excel London. Now, James, there's a rumour going around the show that you're trying to redefine return on investment, otherwise known as ROI, to become return on intent. Is this rumour correct?
Well, Mike, great to see you today, and thanks for the invitation to speak. Absolutely, the rumours are very true. We have just published this week, to time in with IBTM, a piece of research that we commissioned over the summer. And we wanted to, having come out of COVID, seeing the industry really come back strongly, we wanted to do a deep dive to really understand what delegates and attendees to events are thinking about their experiences and the way they want to attend events in the new world, and also what event planners thought about how they were going to be shaping the future of their event. So we felt that by getting a deeper understanding of those experiences, the way people are making decisions to invest, we would then be able to adapt our product, advise our clients, make our experiences at Excel London even better. It was really interesting, the research that came back. We interviewed 300 partly delegates, so 250 delegates, international delegates attending events in the summer at Excel. One big corporate event, one association, so a nice balance. And then 50 top agencies and corporate organisers as well, to get a sense of, right, what's your thinking looking at? And that really, we drilled down to that, and the research showed us some really interesting information around this new way of deciding, am I going to go to an event or not? Previously, people would say, okay, I'm going to spend £2,000, €2,000 on an event, and I need to show to my boss the ROI. Everyone talks about ROI. How do I do a tick box exercise that says I might get such and such business by going to that event? That's not good enough anymore. The major, major element that we found was to really understand what is the number one driver now in the new post-COVID world for an attendee to go to an event. And top of the tree was networking, peer-to-peer networking. And that was by far and away much higher than education, much higher actually than sales themselves. It was that peer-to-peer networking. And the research showed us that people wanted to be able to do that in the easiest way, the most connected way, a way that was curated for them, but that didn't feel forced or false. So there is a new, if you like, intention to attend events in a way that has like a matrix before you go to the event to say, this is what I intend to get out of this event by going there, rather than just, as I say, the box ticking exercise. So it is a play on words, but the intent, if you'll excuse the pun for that play on words, was to redefine return on investment to return on intent. And if the intent is done well, then the attendees get a much better experience, are more likely to return to that event in the future. And of course, ultimately, that drives the stakeholders from the planner's point of view to run more successful events.
Absolutely. That's really interesting because, as you say, networking can't really be measured so much. But if you've got the intent to go there with the objectives in mind to meet new people, develop new contacts, then that's worth its weight in gold, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was also interesting that the further, as we delve deeper into the wish list, if you like, of attendees, one of the big elements, and I know here at IBTM this week, there's a big push on sustainability. We're seeing all the elements that the Reed team are doing here, and I really support that. It's fabulous. But the measurability of both environmental and social impact for attendees was right at the top of the charts. You're looking at sort of 85-90% of the respondents saying it was really very important to them. Interestingly, on the planner's side, that percentage drops much, much lower, 65-70%. So we are now taking this research to planners to say, you need to take this seriously. I mean, at XL London, many colleagues will know, we last year were certified carbon neutral, and we have our pathway to net zero by 2050 and a reduction in carbon of a half by 2030 linked to the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative and the Paris COP Accord. So we're doing our part, and we're working with planners now and organisers to say, look, this is really important to the people that are going to decide if they're going to get their ROI, their return on intent by going to your event. It is really important to them that you act in a responsible way and manage your event in a sustainable way. And if you're not doing that, they're going to be going to your competitor's event. You need to treat it seriously. So that was an interesting sort of disconnect, if you like. Attendees, it was right up there and much more middling from a planner's point of view. Beyond simply those measurements, they want, if they're deciding to turn the key from their front door, they want simplicity. They ideally only want to take one flight somewhere. There's a time element to that. There's a convenience element to that. And taking one flight obviously is a lower carbon impact than taking multiple flights to go around the world. So big cities like London, like Paris, like Barcelona scored very highly on those respondents. They almost want the answers to be given to them about, you know, how am I going to, in an easy way, get to that event and then have what I'm trying to achieve from that event sort of curated for me by the planners.
Yeah. I mean, London's connectivity is fantastic at the moment, isn't it? Because of the newish Queen Elizabeth line, getting commuters out from the centre of London over to XL in, 20 minutes?
20 minutes gets you right over to Paddington. So central London really is 10 to 12 minutes now. So you're absolutely right. We are blessed and fortunate that that infrastructure project, which stops at our front door, can link any of our international visitors in particular to Heathrow in 45 minutes. And as you say, central London, 10 to 15 minutes. We are very bullish about the future of the industry, about the future of London's position in the industry. And if I may add in, to the extent that we're investing further in XL's facilities, with some of this research, again, being taken on board around attendee expectations. So we're building a brand new extension to our convention centre that will really elevate the visitor experience. All the elements post-COVID that people are demanding: natural daylight, lots of fresh air, lots of high ceilings and room to move and places to sit. And again, that has been one of the key drivers around this research. It's all about delegate expectation and delegate experience. And those planners and venues and everyone in the supply chain that get it right are going to be very successful in the future.
As we always say on this podcast, New in Events is for new ideas, new ways of thinking, and new inspiration. And I have to say, James Rees's Return on Intent report, that's a really new, interesting concept, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, it absolutely is, Mike. And I really like it. I like it because it gives us another tool beyond just plain numbers. For years, we've been measuring events on the basis of pounds and dollars or whatever. But this takes us to a whole new level of really understanding what the attending experience is and what it could look like. And what I think is really important is that the work that both James and Anita have been doing in their data gathering and their insights and their reports is really being used to drive that experience to even greater heights. And I think that's where we need to keep going. We've got to be so much better and more creative than we are every single day that we put an event on.
Yes, and understanding the attendee and what they want is very important. And what I took from James Rees's study is that networking and sustainability are two vital priorities for attendees, and planners need to understand that.
Absolutely, they do. And I think the ones that do look at what's coming out and where the trends are and what's coming next, they're going to be the ones that really benefit. And I think there's no room in our sector anymore to not pay attention to where people are, because there are new generations coming through and new ideas all the time.
It's great also that there is an association for corporate in-house event planners. I think in the past, corporate in-house event planners have been very underrepresented. They don't necessarily all have a common job role. And I think some of the work that ICE is going to be doing in the future will help corporates understand the difference between job roles. And as Anita said, when they get to their reviews, it would be really useful to have some kind of standardization in terms of what the different disciplines within corporate in-house event planning do.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think that's a really interesting point, that you can be a corporate event planner, but you might be a little lonely because there's a lot of people coming to you expecting certain things. You've got multiple stakeholders to look after. And if you know that you're not alone as a corporate planner, because there are other corporate planners out there and you can share ideas, then that's got to be useful for your development and also for what the event produced looks like.
Interesting though, wasn't it, that when Anita was asked for that one piece of advice that she'd offer newcomers coming into the industry, she advised that people should get to know and understand technology, especially artificial intelligence.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That threw me a little bit, if I'm honest, because yes, it's important to understand technology, but we need to embrace it and to use it in events. But by the same token, in-person events, they need a lot of skills in terms of the way that you react and interact with people. So we're very people focused. And I think that is something that shouldn't be lost with any kind of tech that's coming into our space.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think that AI will solve a lot of the manual tasks that event planners spend a lot of time doing. And by developing their skills in that area, it should make the job a little bit more seamless and a little bit easier for those in the future. So the future work of event planners is looking quite bright if, as Anita advises, they get to grips with how to automate and what machine learning can do in order to gather data insights and help their development, which again, all comes back to understanding the attendee experience, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Excellent. And then finally, Dr. Lee Parry, he was interesting, wasn't he? So he had a great story to tell about the conference that he went to and how it shaped his progression in his career. And it just goes to show that the cultural benefits of conferences in things like scientific discovery, we don't normally hear such stories, do we?
No, we don't. But we know they are around. And I think it's interesting that there can be one piece of information that comes out of maybe a whole day of a conference, but that can be the catalyst for such breakthroughs.
It's the unsaid power of conferences, meetings and events. And with that, that's the end of episode 4. Thank you so much, Paul. It's been really fascinating. And we will return with another episode soon.
We will indeed, Mike.
Thanks so much for listening to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Put November 19th to 21st in your diaries for IBTM World in Barcelona. And follow us on our social media channels for all the latest updates. Until next time.